Hello friends, today we will be seeing chapter number 13, that is delegation and span of management. Now this is yet another chapter which will focus on lot of important elements involved in the principles of management. We all know by now what do we mean by what delegation. So I am going to ask quickly right away, tell me someone, what do we mean by what delegation? Yes, will tell me Khushbu, can you tell me what do you mean by delegation? Wow, superb Khushbu. Anybody else? Let me put up this question to Namita. Namita, can you tell me what do you mean by delegation? Great, superb. Now, like what rightly they have both mentioned, delegation means what? Giving up or spreading or assigning someone the task. So delegation and span of management is a very unique kind of skill which requires the management to be on their toes. The reason being, because when we delegate our work, we are basically giving our work to someone else. At the same time, the span of management is the area under which management would be done. So we can see the symbol which has been shown over here as well, that the work which was taken up by him, or rather the work which was done by him, is now been given to him, so that he now takes it forward from this point to the next point. It happens in the companies also. Bosses then gives our work to someone else so that he can delegate, or he can give this work to someone else who will do it on behalf of him. That is where delegation plays a very important role in the business. So here in the concept of delegation of management, how do we delegate effectively will tell us that how beautifully we can craft the requirement for success or failure of business. You know, many a times this has been a reason why business fails over a period of time. One of the reason why business fail, because they aren't able to delegate the work effectively. They aren't able to give the work to someone else very easily or very synchronizingly. Sometimes the work given by the superior to the subordinate isn't been able to understand. Sometimes work given, but he is not able to take decisions. He is given authority, maybe he is not having the responsibility, or he is having responsibility but he has no authority to change, he has no power. So in this chapter we will be seeing everything with regards to how delegation takes place. And span of management means what? Span of management means the area under which the management needs to focus or function upon. That is in his span of management. So let's go ahead and see how this concept actually functions. So we all know that authority is a very unique term. Let us see how it functions. Authority is the power to make decisions which guide the actions of others. So authority is something which will help us to make sure that the actions, whatever is required, can be performed properly in a proper manner. So it guides the action of others. So if you are authorized, which means you are given the challenge, or you are given the responsibility, or you have got the power to complete that particular task. As per Henry Fayol, authority is the right to give orders and the power to exact obedience. So if, say for example, Mr. Mahesh has got the authority to delegate the work, it means that Mahesh has got the power to give this work to the subordinate, that he has to perform this task in this particular format. And similarly, as per Harold Coots and O'Donnell, authority is the power to command others to act or not to act in a manner deemed by the possessor of the authority to further enterprise or departmental purposes. So Harold Coots and O'Donnell mentions that authority is more about command, that he has got the power to command from the front. It might be in the good faith of the company, it might not be in the good faith of the company, has got no relevance as of now. Authority means he has got the power to command the decisions. Authority means he has got the power to make sure that things fall in place. So authority is more about the power of doing that particular task in the best possible manner, and the act in which the things can be deemed by the possessor of the authority to further enterprise or departmental purposes. So how these things can further function, how these things can fall in place accordingly, is what is referred to as authority. Now, to make sure we understand authority to the best possible manner, we have got few characteristics of authority. First is basis of getting things done, the right to take actions towards completion. Now, at times it happens that the task is nearing the completion. When the task is nearing the completion, there are certain crucial decisions which needs to be taken up. If the authorization person who is not available, then what happens? The things go for a toss. So that is where authority plays a very important role. Say for example, there is a decision for making sure while constructing a building, a particular kind of activity needs to be done. So for that particular kind of activity, the authority has been given to the project in charge. So if the bosses are not available and the project in charge takes the decision as he's been having authority to that particular task, the project can go ahead. which will make sure one important element over here is that the time factor, which would basically be taken up or subdued, will be taken into consideration, and the functioning of that particular project will also happen systematically. So that is why, see, we said that the first characteristic of authority is basis of getting things done, the right to take actions towards completion. So authority gives a right to do things in an organization and affect the behavior of other workers of the organization. So if authority is given and he is able to function accordingly to a person, then there is a chance or a possibility that the employees or the subordinates in the group also functions in that manner. It leads to the performance of certain activities for accomplishment of defined objectives automatically. So authority given, he has to make sure that since the authority is given to this person, he will work ahead, he will make sure that the things fall in place and output is generated in the best possible manner. The classic example over here is, say for example, you're working for a company known as Fun School. Now Fun School makes a lot of toy products. When he makes a lot of toy products, and if it has to be executed, it can be executed if and only if the authority is given to the employees for any kind of new product launch or new activities to be done. So that is where the performance of certain activities for the accomplishment of defined objectives automatically would take place. Another characteristic of authority is legitimacy, positional authority. That is, authority implies a legal right available to the superiors. So when authority is given, he has got the legal right, that is legitimacy, which means what? He is eligible, he has got the power to function as per the authority given to that particular concept. Like for example, in companies, manager has been authorized to take decisions on a certain specific occasions. That is where we say that one of the feature of authority also is that the manager has got the legitimacy, position, authority. So he has got the position authority, that is why he is able to take certain decisions. If he has got no authority, positional legitimacy available, then he wouldn't be able to take the decision. That is why one of the key feature of authority is legitimacy. So it has been visible that he has got the positional power, positional authority for functioning in the business. Another characteristic of authority is decision making, the freedom and right to make choices of action. When authority is given, he has, the authorized person has got the freedom to take decision. This decision may be in favor of company or not, may be in favor of company, has no relevance as of now. But the concept over here is that he has got the power to take decision. If he has got the power to take decision, he is being more focused and he can give the output accordingly. So decision making is a prerequisite of an authority. Any authority, when it is being given to an individual, he is making sure that he has got the power to take decision. The manager can command his subordinates to act or not to act. So manager can command that this is you are supposed to do, this is you are not supposed to do. That is where you will have authority. This type of decision is taken by manager regarding the functioning of an office. So the decision which is taken as far as considered for running of the business is known as admin decision. So that is where authority that person has got is admining that particular concept. I'm going to share a small story. Say for example, we have got Mr. Jayesh. Jayesh is a salesman selling different types of laptops in the market. His boss has given him the authority to sell laptops in the market without any, wherein he can bargain the laptops and seal the deal, get the business for the company and run the business. In this concept, in this whole journey, Mr. Jayesh goes and meets a client who asks for around 25 computers or 25 laptops. When 25 laptops deal has been inquired and Mr. Jayesh is negotiating, the customer asks him to bargain big time bargaining. His offer was 40,000 and the customer asks him to give a discount of minimum 10,000 rupees and he is going to buy 25 laptops. So here the role which is defined to Jayesh, does that role allow him to take decision for bulk discount or not needs to be checked. If he has got no authorization to give bulk discount for such kind of thing, the deal may not get closed, or maybe the customer who was supposed to buy wouldn't buy. So that is the time where the authority comes up in a very crucial factor. Does he have the authority or not to take a bulk discount kind of a concept? The manager which has given him the power, it is for a couple of laptops and around 40,000 can be around 1 or 2,000 plus or minus can be done. But when it is bulk order and the discount is such a huge amount, he needs to take prior approval. That is where he is not having the authority. That is where he has to be reporting to his superiors. So the superiors, if he is able to take the decision, then he has got the authority and the power to get the work done. So that is where we say the decision making. So it is a prerequisite. If Jayesh goes in the market and he is not allowed to bargain for bulk kind of discounting, then might as well he has got power or he has been authorized, but for not for bulk kind of thing or not for institutional sales. That is where it needs to be properly classified, that if this is the concept, this is what you are allowed to do. So that is where decision making, there is the freedom and right to make choices of action. Another characteristic of authority is implementation, that is as a consequence of position held. Implementation influences the personality factors of the manager who is empowered to use the authority. So he has got the personality, he has got the by default kind of power to give the output. So another characteristic of authority, which is also the last characteristic of authority, that he can implement the decision because of his power he is sitting on it. Now, Jayesh in the previous example was not having the power to take the decision, but his manager, because of his positional power, has got the right or has got the authority to take a decision that should he be able to sell the laptop at 30,000 rupees or should he not be able to sell the laptop at 30,000 rupees. So he is got called as implementation. So that is where the consequence of position held. So what position he is holding, because of which by default he is allowed to have this application in the best possible manner. So these are few characteristics or features of authority. Let us see how this authority concept function as well. So authority is usually a synchronization of 3-4 things. So it says as such that when the person has got the authority, he is responsible. If he is responsible, which means he is accountable, and since he is accountable, he has got the power to fulfill that whole task. We can read it out this way also. A person who has got power, it means that he has got the authority. If he has got the authority, he is responsible for this task, and if he has got responsible for this task, he is accountable as well. So we say that whenever the business decision needs to be taken up, the person who has been authorized has got the power, has got the responsibility, and has got the accountability as well. So all the three things works together. But if a person is responsible, does not mean that he is accountable for this task. Like in the previous example of Jayesh and manager, Jayesh is authorized, but accountability lies with the manager. Because if something goes wrong on behalf of the company and company disowns that this wasn't, you should be able to take the decision, then who will be accountable? Manager will be accountable, though decision was taken by Jayesh. Because always the manager is not only authorized or responsible or having the powers, he is also accountable, which means he is answerable. And that is how this whole journey functions. So this is the way how the concept of authority functions. Now let us go ahead and see what are the sources of authority. Now when we understand this authority, then we understand how do we delegate this authority. That is why we are trying to understand what are different types of authority and how do we delegate or how do we transmit our activity to the next person. So next is sources of authority. The first source of authority is formal authority theory, which focuses on it is formally crafted right from the top level to the middle level to the lower level. So that is known as formal authority level. Now in this formal authority theory, according to this theory, the authority flows top bottom through the structure of an organization. In other words, authority flows from the general manager to his departmental manager, in turn from departmental manager to his superintendent, and then it is like that. This is explained with the help of following diagram. Now if you can see over here, we have got a unique kind of formal authority theory diagram in which board of directors are sitting over here. All the information which goes from top to bottom formally, first they will pass the authority to general manager, who will pass the authority to sales manager, will pass the authority to sales representatives, and they will pass authority to workers. So this kind of authority which goes from top to bottom is known as what? Formal authority theory, which usually falls from top level to the lowest level position in the business. That is known as formal authority theory. So that is the best or the conceptual way how authorities have been transmitted from top to the lowest level. Next source of authority is the acceptance of authority theory, wherein the authority should be accepted and they should be able to give the output accordingly. So authority flows from the superior to the subordinates whenever there is an acceptance on the part of the subordinates. So whenever there is acceptance in part of subordinates that they are ready to accept this particular task, that is when they will be able to give the output. So that is why we say that the authority flows from superior to the subordinates whenever there is acceptance on the part of the subordinates. When they accept it, they will be able to reveal or give the output accordingly. The subordinate should accept the authority, but there is no compulsion made by the superior. So, subordinates will accept the authority, but it is not compulsion that superior will force them that this is what you are supposed to do, and if you don't do it, it is not acceptable to the company. So, subordinate should accept the authority by default because of the fact that they are supposed to do the task below the manager. If the subordinates do not accept the command of the superior, then the superior cannot be said to be have an authority over them. So, under acceptance of authority theory, when the subordinates are functioning under a superior, and if superior gives that information, task, or a message is been transmitted from the superior to the subordinates, subordinates have to by default accept it. If they do not accept it, then it is not said that they are having the power to or they have got the authority about the subordinates. That is why the second theory or second source of authority is the acceptance of authority theory, wherein the subordinates needs to accept by default whatever the superior says. It happens in company normally that no one teaches anyone that this is your boss or this is whom you are supposed to take command from. If we know this is our boss whom we are supposed to take the command from, if he has given some information, by default we have to accept it and take it forward accordingly. That kind of theory is known as acceptance of authority theory, which makes the things fall in place. Next is competency theory. Competency basically is based on the concept wherein there is different kinds of capabilities, skills available in the individual. That is where we have got competency theory based sources of authority. So this type of authority is invested with the persons by virtue of the office held by them. So the person who is holding the office, like for example, there is a person in the company or in a branch which is given the power to hold that office. So he is a branch manager. Maybe the people working under him are more qualified, but because he is having the power and authority, that has been designated by the company, he is called as that he is competent enough or he has got the skills to function accordingly. So the personal power of this type of person is based on the leadership qualities of the person concerned. In an organization, only one person gets a higher position than others in course of time based on leadership qualities possessed by him. So in an organization, only there are chances wherein the employee would be given the authority based on competency, based on experience, based on time bound kind of game. So it depends upon the organization to organization, but competency theory is based upon the fact that the person who is going to get superior position in the business because of the authority given to him, as he is sitting in the topmost position in the business and he is giving that information to the lower level management, that is where we call it as competency theory of authority in the business arena or business concept. This is another source of authority which the company gets as far as possible in the competency format. So that is how the authority is basically been achieved, or these are the sources of authority. First being the formal authority theory, second is the acceptance of authority which is given by default, and third is competency based on the skills. Now we move on to the actual concept known as delegation of authority. That is, how do we distribute or give the authority to someone else in the subordinates? So delegation of authority contributes to the creation of an organization. In an organization, or if we want the company to actually form in place, then we have to delegate the authority. If we don't delegate the authority, the company would never be able to grow, because the same person will do all the same kind of tasks. He wouldn't be able to give the output as per the requirement. And that is why we say that delegation of authority contributes to the creation of an organization. No single person is in a position to discharge all the duties in the organization. It is quite impossible for the same person to do all kind of activities, simply because of the fact that there are a lot of things to be done at the given moment of time. Go, like for example, in a normal company, there are a lot of activities which the company needs to do. Like for example, speaking with the customers, purchasing goods from the market, then going and collecting payments from the market, paying the suppliers, taking care of banking transaction, dispatching the goods, and many more other small activities are there in the business. So for all this purpose, it is quite impossible that one person can do so many duties in the organization. And that is where we have to learn to delegate the authority. In order to finish the work in time, there is a need to delegate authority and follow the principles of division of labor. And that is where we are supposed to delegate and divide the labor in the best possible manner, so that the work and task can easily be divided in the best possible manner. Now, delegation permits a person to extend his influence beyond the limits of his own personal time, energy and knowledge. So, delegation gives the right to person to extend his influence beyond the limits of his own personal time, energy and knowledge. So when he delegates, he has got the permission, he has got the power to think more than what exactly local activities which he is actually observing or seeing. So delegation helps things to get in more streamlined and more systematic format in the business. So that is how the delegation of authority will help the company to grow over a period of time. It is impossible for any person to execute all the work in organization to achieve the objectives of the organization. Like for example, companies like Tata's, Birla's, Reliance's in India, if they have grown, it has grown simply because of the delegation of the work. If the same person would be doing the same kind of task, it is impossible for them to get the output. And that is where it is very important that they can delegate the work. That means they are allowed to do that work not themselves, but someone else will do the work on behalf of them, and they can get just the reporting done. That are they contributing for the company's success? Are they getting the results for the company's requirement or not? That can be identified with that possible manner. Similarly, in a growing concern also, a single person cannot be vested with the entire decision-making authority. In a growing company where the company is growing big time, it is not one person who can take the decision and help the company to grow. It usually requires 2-3 people. It requires usually a team which takes a decision together so that the company actually how it wants to grow can grow accordingly. So the superior assigns duties or responsibilities to his subordinates and also delegates necessary authority to them. So that is where it is very important that they delegate the work, that they distribute, they give the work to their individuals and subordinates. That is the way how they will be able to get the business in the business from the market and help company to achieve the objectives. So delegation by as such is a very crucial factor. When we delegate, we have to select the those kind of employees who will do our work on behalf of us and give the output as the way how we wanted to do the get the output. So that is why delegation of authority plays a very important role. Delegation is a process which enables a person to assign a work to others and delegate them with adequate authority to do it. So it is a process, it is a mechanism which gives the power that this is the way how things needs to be transmitted and this is the way how things needs to reach the people. This is the way how it has been functioning since so many years, and this is the way how you are supposed to do on behalf of us in the best possible manner. So as per Louis A. Allen, delegation is a dynamic process of management which a manager follows. Dynamic, which is continuously changing, it cannot be done the same way every time. It will change with time as and when it goes ahead, which a manager needs to follow. So manager needs to follow that task in the best possible manner to divide the work assigned to him so that he performs that part of work which only he can perform effectively, so that he performs the task and only which he can do it in the best possible manner so that he gets the output accordingly. Because of his unique organizational placement and that he can get others to help him with what remains. So what he can do best, can he only be doing the best, and if he cannot do the best, the others can do whom he delegates the work because of the fact that the time constraint and other relative perceptions available in the business. Now at times it happens that the employee who is working or the manager who is working, he has got a lot of things to be looked upon with. Not possible for him to do all the tasks at the given moment of time. That is where he has to delegate that work to different groups of people, and they will be able to generate output as per the requirement of the business. Delegation is considered as one of the most important methods of training subordinates and building morale. So it is considered as one of the most important methods of training subordinates. So if I have to train my subordinates, or you can say the people below me, and improve their morale, then delegation is the only way. That is, we give the authority to that person so that he takes the things and his responsibility on his shoulders, and he gives the output according to that. The delegation of authority helps the manager to concentrate on the important work of planning, organizing and controlling. So when we delegate, the things which we are delegating makes sure that we get the business in form of planning, organizing, controlling, staffing, directing, coordinating, motivation, all these things will be a very important point as far as delegation is concerned. So it helps the company to achieve the requirement based upon the delegation of authority given by the superior. Delegation enables a person not only to discharge his responsibility but also to discharge it effectively and economically. It's very important, the word economically. So whosoever is going to be authorized to do the work on behalf of superior should be also economically available, should be effectively give the output. And if effectively and economically both are considered together and then the output is given, this is the only way the platform or the concept, the business can lift the way how things needs to function. So to a business unit which has different branches situated at different places, there is no alternative except delegation. So if a company has got a lot of branches across the country, then for them, the owner, if he has to reach to so many different places, it's very challenging. The only way he can overcome this challenge is by delegation, delegating that work. That, for example, we have got a business line on a courier business. So if courier business has to actually expand across the country or franchise across the country, he cannot go in his own. That is why he has got this concept known as franchising, in which he gives his power or authority or brand name to someone else who will be given the delegation of the way how the head office runs, in the same way the subordinate branches needs to run in that particular manner. Now let us go ahead and see, after the concept, what is delegation of authority, what are the components or elements of delegation, what is the delegation comprising of. The first element of delegation is assignment of duties or responsibility. Very important in delegation that duties and responsibilities needs to be properly assigned. If duties and responsibilities are not properly assigned, it is going to be difficult for company to grow, because of the fact that the business wouldn't be that as per requirement it would be functioning. So that is where assignment of duties or responsibilities needs to be properly given. This work is being done only at the time when a superior has no time to accomplish all the work. The superior automatically assigns the work of responsibility to his immediate subordinate. So elements of delegation, the first being assignment of duties or responsibility. The superior work is there, but if he cannot do the work because of lot of activities which he is supposed to do, he assigns that work to his subordinates, and the subordinates would give the output as per the requirement of the business. Another element of delegation is delegation of authority. That is, he gives the authority to function the business as per the requirement. So if the work is assigned to any subordinates, there will be a need for authority to accomplish it. So if work is assigned, then there is a need for getting that work in the best possible manner. After the delegation of authority, the subordinate can get powers to accomplish the tasks in a specified time and in order. So after the delegation of authority is done, which means what, once the authority is given, then the superior responsibility is got over. The subordinate gets the powers to accomplish the task as the superior wanted to do, and he will give the output accordingly. That is why we say that delegation of authority is a crucial element of delegation, because without that, if we don't get delegate the authority to the subordinate, he will not be able to take the decision. It is same way as like the you are supposed to do the task. If you get stuck, you tell me. So it's going to be very difficult for the subordinate as and when he gets stuck. Like he will have to call up or get the approvals or permission from the superiors, which will delay the way how things needs to function. And that is why delegation plays a very important role as far as element of delegation is concerned. Another element of delegation is accountability. Accountability means what? He is being answerable. If he is answerable, which means that he has to give the output, or he is supposed to answer if something doesn't go as per the requirement of the company. So accountability means that the subordinate is answerable to his immediate senior. So if I have delegated the task to you, Jayesh, then Jayesh is answerable to me that whatever I have given to him as a task, why is he not able to do, or has he been able to complete that task or not? If there is any mistake or fault committed by the subordinate should accept responsibility for it. So if any task is given, he is responsible to do that, take up this task and give the output. In certain cases, the assignment may be made to the subordinate, and if the work is not accomplished as per the instructions issued by the superior is answerable to management but not to the subordinate. So if this information is given and he is answerable, and if he is not been able to give the answer, then he is responsible. So he has to give the answer that why he was not able to give that particular output. That is why one of the element of delegation is known as accountable, which means answerable. That is, the subordinate is required to answer the things assigned to him by the superior in whichever ways it was given. And if he is not able to do it, why? If he is able to do it, how? That is where he is answerable to his superiors, and that is why it becomes a very important component of delegation. Another principle of from elements, we now move on to the principles of delegation. So the principles, nothing but the rules and regulations of delegation. First is delegation to go by results expected. So the first principle of delegation is making sure that whatever delegation is given the task, or whatever the employee is given the task, he is able to get the results, or he is able to get the results as expected by the company. It should be noted that the objectives of the organization are to be accomplished in time. The superior should clearly know what he expects from the subordinate before the delegation of authority. It is very important at times, which happens, which has been seen also and which has been observed, that if the superior delegates the work to subordinate, I repeat, when superior delegates the work to subordinate, superior should know what he, what the subordinates is capable of, or subordinate should know what superior wants the work to be done and given back to him. That is where it is very important that the superior should clearly know that what work he wants that subordinate should be able to give, what time frame he wants the work to be done, what output he wants the work to be given in the best possible manner. So this whole concept is more revolving around delegation to go by results expected. So what the results are expected, output needs to be given accordingly. Another principle of delegation is non-delegation of responsibility. A superior can delegate authority but not responsibility. So I can delegate authority that you are authorized, but you are not responsible. This is a very crucial principle of delegation, because if you are authorized but you are not responsible, you would not give the output as per the requirement of the superior. Because I am authorized, and if it does not fall in place, I am not responsible, no one will ask me questions, and I will not be caught hold of that particular task. So assigning duties does not mean delegation of responsibility. The superior should be in touch with the subordinates to know whether duties are performed and the authority is exercised properly. The ultimate responsibility for the performance of duties always remains with the superior. So if superior in a company, say for example, there is a company, there is a hospital. The superior is, say for example, the superior of all the ward boys is warden. So this warden has got the power to get the work done as per the MD, medical director, giving him the task. So the warden needs to make sure that the ward boys or ward the female ward boys or the female ward girls are regularly being present on the floors for getting or supporting the doctors as per the requirement. And if on some day the ward boys or the ward nurses are not available on that given place, then who is responsible? It is the warden who is responsible, because he or she is answerable or have the responsibility to the medical director. That is why we call it as that assigning of duties does not mean that he is responsible. It means he is just giving the authority that you are supposed to get the work done. He is supposed to get the work done, or she is supposed to get the work done. Not necessary he or she what needs to get the work done is not falling in place or is falling in place. So that is where we say that non-delegation of responsibility is one of the crucial principle of delegation, which means if I give you authority does not mean that you are having the powers also to do that particular task.